Chapter 1, Founding the Society. Bournemouth Blind Society was founded in October 1911 as Bournemouth and District Blind Aid Society, in response to a campaign by the National Institute of Blind, raising funds for a new building on Portland Street in London. The founders of Bournemouth and District Blind Aid Society suggested that funds be raised for a local society instead. The founders knew of 10 local blind people in Bournemouth who would benefit from the direct assistance that a local society could provide. The committee was founded with 11 members and grew quickly. A few members were particularly important to the founding of the society. The three Rupert sisters, in particular, were important to the beginning of the society, as it was their idea, and Emily Rupert was named the treasurer of the society. Frank Latty, a blind retired schoolmaster, was named secretary of the society. Mr. Homer, who was also blind, was named solicitor of the society. Due to a difficult birth, Mr. Homer had been born completely blind. As one of 8 children, Homer grew up in Godlington Manor in Swanage and used to join in with all the activities his sighted siblings did. He attended Cambridge University to become a solicitor and was the founder of Bournemouth law firm Smythe, Dodgson and Homer on Old Christchurch Road. Mr. Homer used his legal expertise to help the charity. From the first meeting, the society grew quickly, with new members joining at every meeting. A large number of women joined as working members of the society. At the time, it was very common for women to engage in charity work in their free time. The society was founded before the NHS or the welfare state came into being. In 1911, the charity served as a very important institution to help those in need, fulfilling many of the roles the NHS and welfare state would do after World War II. The objective of the society was printed in The Guardian on the 2nd of March 1912. It read, "The society has for its objective the general welfare of the blind in Bournemouth and district and the amelioration of their present condition in every way. Its purposes briefly are to get in touch with all the blind in the district, to do its best to find employment for the blind, and to supervise the training of those who are considered capable of being taught, and thirdly, to visit the poor, sick, aged and infirm blind in their homes to do everything possible to cheer their lives." One of the main aims of the society was to get in touch with the blind and cheer their lives. When the society began, the founders knew of 10 local people they could help. This quickly grew. Mr. Latty stated that during its first 4 months of existence, it had got in touch with between 60 and 70 blind people and found visitors for all the blind persons they knew, which was reported in The Guardian. Within 1 month of contacting the charity, it had been arranged for Miss Koronick, who lived in Christchurch, to be visited by Mrs. Payne to be taught knitting. This provided both with company, which is important to cheering her life, and training her in a skill that could help her secure work, like Mrs. Lay, another blind woman who was able to knit stockings for Bournemouth Hospital. Members of the society could arrange for visitors to come and read to the blind, even appealing in the Bournemouth Echo for more women to help, as the activity was enjoyed so much by the blind. Some of the society members were also able to teach Braille, which could allow the blind to be more independent readers. Being read to and learning Braille was a really popular activity for the blind. The society really valued books for enlightenment and recreation of the blind. In 1911, books were a key form of entertainment. This was before radios became a commonplace item in the home. The BBC began radio broadcasts in the 1920s. Reading was an important pastime, and the society went to great lengths to create a library for the blind. The library included textbooks for visitors to read to the blind, as well as Braille books for the blind to read themselves. Some of the Braille books were borrowed from the National Braille Library in London. For a small fee, they could be posted to Bournemouth and kept for months to give members a chance to read them. The society also began to build a permanent collection of Braille books, as many women kindly volunteered to transcribe the books into Braille. The library became a great success, and every month the society would receive requests for books the blind were eager to read. It was common for Mr. Latty or Mr. Homer to visit the mothers of blind babies. As very independent and successful blind men, these visits would show worried mothers that their children could lead full lives. These visits were also important, as it meant the babies and their families had lifelong support from the society. Later in the children's lives, the society could ensure they're receiving quality education and organise for these children to attend special blind schools, such as Exeter and Bristol Schools for the Blind. Another way the society aimed to entertain the blind was arranging activities and events. The tradition of annual summer outings began in the society's first year. Suggested by Mr. Homer, in June of 1912, the first summer outing took place. The society embarked on a day trip from Bournemouth Pier to Swanage on a paddle steamer pleasure boat. In Swanage, the group visited Mr. Homer's childhood home, Godlington Manor, for tea and even went for a drive around Corfe Castle. Driving was an exciting activity in 1912, when cars were an uncommon luxury item and it was common to travel on electric tramway or horse-drawn taxi or bus. The outing was enjoyed so much by the members that the society went on the same outing for the next 2 years. Cossens & Co., the pleasure boat company, were extremely charitable and gave the blind travel to Swanage free of charge. The committee members also made sandwiches to take on the outing, which were subject to much discussion at the committee meetings. The members also began stopping at Corfe Castle for lemonade. The outings were described as much enjoyed by the blind and the sandwiches much appreciated. The society went on a range of outings in later years, including drives around the New Forest, visits to Milton-on-Sea, visits to sandbanks, and very successfully an outing to Poole Park. In the 1910s, Poole Park was an easy place to travel to, as you could get the tram. Nearly 50 people, including friends and family, were able to come to the 1920 summer outing in Poole Park, enjoying the boating lake and duck pond. The prevention of blindness was a key aim of the society, as a lot of blindness at the time was preventable. Dr. Mary Jeremy, one of the society's founders, was an advocate for the education around the prevention of blindness. In a Bournemouth Echo article on the work of the charity, Mary Jeremy reported that at least 50% of the children who are blind could have easily been cured in infancy. This referred to Ophthalmia Neonatorum, an eye infection commonly cured during birth. Mary went on to suggest a little bathing of the child's eyes would have, in most cases, brought relief. Surprisingly, this was due, as medical knowledge of 1911 remained very poor, as well as knowledge of the benefits of sanitation. Measles and scarlet fever, common illnesses in infancy at the time, could also cause blindness. Mary and society campaigned for the vaccination of these illnesses as a simple way to prevent about a third of all blindness. A large part of the prevention of blindness lay in education. The society campaigned with Bournemouth Sanitary Committee about the measures the Sanitary Committee and public could take to help the prevention of blindness in infancy. Dr. Mary Jeremy also campaigned to local hospitals for the notification of Ophthalmia Neonatorum to become compulsory. This measure would help spread awareness of the problem. It could also help to prevent the illness by indicating which midwives may have been ignorant of the problem. With the help of people like Mary Jeremy, information on public health rapidly increased. Scientists began to find out more about bacteria and disease prevention and show the importance of sanitation to health. In the Bournemouth area, the society was important in spreading this new knowledge. The state provided education for blind children, however, it did not provide training for employment. At this point, the Blind Society stepped in to ensure that the blind in Bournemouth could find employment. In the early years of the society, committee members themselves would visit the blind to train them. It was common for the blind to learn handicrafts such as knitting, chair weaving, basket weaving, and net making. The blind could use these crafts to make an income, as things like baskets were commonly used items until the use of plastic became popular. For young people, it was often arranged then to go to blind schools. In the society's early years, this was often the Bristol Royal School and Workshops for the Blind, which taught handicrafts. The society also made efforts to find suitable employment for the blind in the Bournemouth community, as many of the blind people were fully capable of working in shops and offices. Although not all of the blind were able to work, as there was very little in terms of social welfare in the form of unemployment and disability benefits, it was very common for charities to provide pensions. The society's pension scheme began in 1914. 2 shillings and 6 pence was offered to any blind persons living within a 15-mile radius of Bournemouth Square. For many helped by the Blind Society, these pensions were a lifeline. The majority of members would have become blind in old age, coupled with other health issues, making it impossible to find work or continue working. This pension could also help take pressure away from partners or children providing for the blind. In its early years, the society was successful in its aims to prevent blindness, finding employment for the blind and cheering the lives of the blind. With the determination of its founders, the society quickly became a lifeline for the blind, creating an amazing community in the Bournemouth area.